News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
Referrals for restorative justice. This is where criminals and victims interact to seek a resolution. Referrals for this kind of justice increased by 22% last year to reach their highest ever level in Ireland. Dr. Ian Marder is with us. He's Associate Professor in Criminology at the School of Law and Criminology in Maynooth University. Ian, can you give us a sort of an example of restorative justice in action? What exactly is it?
So restorative justice can take place, in theory, at any point in the criminal justice process. In Ireland, usually it only takes place in between conviction and sentencing or post-sentence, or also when a young person receives a caution, it can take place at that point. But this is where a victim of crime is given the opportunity to communicate with the person who committed the crime. That can be a face-to-face meeting facilitated by an independent third party. It can also be indirect if they prefer, whether through a letter or by passing messages back and forth or questions and answers.
And what types of crimes does it apply to, or is it universal?
Theoretically, this could be for anyone. Under the victims legislation, a victim of crime is supposed to be given information about restorative justice. This is not something that everyone will want to do in every type of case, but victims need to be given the information and opportunity to decide if it's right for them, because it really can be very helpful for a victim of crime, up to and including the most serious offences, but also for very low-level things as well.
So let's take a case in point. You're walking through city centre, you get assaulted and mugged, the person is prosecuted, convicted, and before they're sentenced, the system comes to you and says, you can sit down with your mugger if you would choose to.
Right. And I mean, in most cases, our research is finding that people are still not given that opportunity to decide whether they want to participate. This is something that's entirely voluntary, but it requires the judge or a probation officer or a gatekeeper of some kind to make the referral before the victim gets full information about it. But it could be for, you know, a mugging or an assault, a burglary, you know, very, very serious violence. And there's a number of really important cases that have happened in Ireland where a person has even gone into prison to meet a person who sexually assaulted them or killed a member of their family.
Why would they do that? What's the advantage to the victim?
There's all sorts of reasons a victim might have for participating in restorative justice. They might have questions only that person has the answer to. They may want to see what the other person is like and hear from them. You know, there may be it may be that they never heard them speak or met them. It also might be that there are things that they want to say to that person. Or, you know, for more kind of lower level stuff earlier in the process, it may be that the victim wants a say in what happens next. Also, it can be, you know, and maybe this is more applicable for lower level crime or where the offender is a child, but it may be that the victim, you know, really wants to say, like, you know, what are you going to do next, and think about how to prevent it from happening again.
What's the advantage from the criminal's perspective?
So if you have committed an offense and you agree to participate in restorative justice, you might not get any tangible benefit from that. Now, it's possible if this takes place in between conviction sentencing for the judge to take it into account. We don't know exactly how often that happens because the cases that are referred at that point tend to be really at the much lower end of the spectrum anyway. But you, again, might be able to express remorse. You might be able to answer questions that the victim has for you. You might be able to explain what was happening in your life that led to that happening in the first place. And I mean, for both the victim and the offender, these are all kind of expressive things that the court doesn't really give you that opportunity to do. Like, there's always, when something goes wrong, people often do want to talk. People want to express how they feel about things, and that just doesn't get to happen at court.
Now, I'm sure some people listening will be cynical about this and saying, hang on a minute, this is a way for somebody who has been convicted of a crime to pay lip service towards an expression of sorrow. It makes them look like they care. It's crocodile tears, and it is only done to try to influence sentencing.
So restorative justice is assessed. So just because a case has been referred doesn't mean that restorative justice happens. You have a professional facilitator whose job it is, among other things, to talk to people about what their motivations are for participating, what they want to get out of it, and make sure that this is a safe process for everyone. But also, this is about the victim. Like, if a victim has questions that they want answered, that is a primary factor for restorative justice. Whether or not the judge takes that into account, that's not necessarily the main question. This is about, does the victim want to do this?
Now, the victim may go into it in the hope of getting those questions answered. Is there evidence to suggest that in the majority of cases, they do get the questions answered, or can it be a very frustrating process?
Yeah, so as I say, restorative justice is always assessed. We have lots and lots of research from this on this topic internationally, which suggests that this helps victims to recover from crime. It gives them answers to questions that are going around in their heads. It can reduce their fear, their anger, and restorative justice has much, much higher rates of victim satisfaction than the criminal justice process, which itself can be very, very frustrating for victims.
What impact, if any, does it have on recidivism?
So that's another thing that has been explored internationally, and it has been found that restorative justice can reduce reoffending, both for more serious types of crime, for young people who commit crime. This is all stuff that has been looked at, and there is an impact on either it acts as a stepping stone for someone who's already thinking about stopping committing crime, or it can also be a trigger point for that thought process to kind of kick in. And I mean, the theory behind this is that for you to be told about the impact of your actions by someone who's directly affected, that has a much greater impact than for a judge or an authority figure to talk about that in the abstract.
Surely, though, if you have mugged somebody or physically assaulted somebody, you can make an inference into how they feel about that experience without needing them to say it directly to you.
I mean, you possibly can, but, you know, again, this is what the research suggests, is that hearing directly from the person about the impact can have a really significant change or impact on your thinking. So let's say, for example, that one of the first studies that I conducted was with victims of burglary. And in a burglary, if you go into a house to take something, you're not really thinking about how people are affected. But then when the victim says to you, you know, it's not just, you know, okay, you took the TV, maybe I could get another one, but my children are really afraid. That's not something that people think about, and it is something that does have an impact on their thinking.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.